A voice of one crying out in the wilderness. That's what the Lord has called me to be. And as we touched upon last week, that's what he's called upon you to be as well. We live in a wilderness of this world of people who are cut off from God, who are lost, who do not know Christ in this life and are headed to an eternity away from him. We live in a wilderness of believers who are wandering around searching for how to live out the Christian life at the point of desperation and complete frustration. And the Lord is calling you, and he's calling me to be a voice in the wilderness, and to do what? To prepare the way of the Lord, to show people the way, to show the people that through Jesus Christ the way has been provided for salvation, and through Jesus Christ the way has been provided to live out that salvation, and to prepare the way of the Lord. And then once that is done, then people make the decision whether or not that they will enter into the way and walk the way. Of course, as heralds of the way, we need to make sure that our feet are firmly on the path. But then we are to be a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. To be his voice. To be that one. God wants you to be that one. If someone needs to know how to be saved, God can bring them to you. And you can say, here, sit down with me. Let me explain to you how you enter into a life relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the dead to give you life. And all you have to do is reach out with your heart and accept him. Now let's pray together and go through and enter into that relationship with God. And to be that voice for the Lord, which even is a rare voice in the world, that believer who is looking for answers, God can direct them to you. And when you hear those words, I just don't get it. I know there's something missing. You say, let me sit down with you. Let me tell you some wonderful news. Not only did Jesus Christ die to take away your sins, that person that you are apart from him, that self-centered, fleshly person that you are apart from Christ, he crucified you with him. You are dead as that person. All you have to do is refuse to live that way, because you have died with Christ, and that you have been raised with Christ as a new person who can live in dependence upon Christ every moment of your life. Let him walk with you. Let him be there with you. Let him give you his strength, his power. You can depend upon him to live. You can live like God wants you to live through Christ. And he's all provided it for you. All you have to do is begin to live by faith. And see that blessed peace come upon that person as they realize at last there is a way. There is a way, and he's Jesus Christ. And begin to walk in it. Whoever would listen, whoever would hear your voice, your job as a voice in the wilderness is to make sure you stay dependent upon Christ, to make sure you're not dependent upon yourself to be that voice. But if you're dependent upon Christ and being a voice for him, then the responsibility shifts upon all those who hear. The responsibility in this setting this morning shifts to all who would hear what I'm saying. And it's a principle that comes into play, Gamaliel, in the first part of the book of Acts. He set the principle. They called in those who were speaking out in behalf of Jesus Christ, proclaiming him as the way. And the Jewish, the religious leaders, brought them in and said they got to stop. And Gamaliel got up and he said this: if what they're saying is of themselves, it matters not. It's nothing. But he says, what you've got to assess is, and at least ask the question, is what they're saying from God? Is it God's word? Is it God's truth? And if it is, you're not going to be resisting them. You are standing yourself in opposition to God Himself. If you share the way of Christ, we talked about being a prophet of the way. You got to see the way and then proclaim it. You got to see it yourself. Have you seen it? Do you know in the depths of your being that Jesus Christ is the way? Do you know without shadow of turning that He is the only way to be saved and have a relationship with God and one day to go to heaven to be with God? Do you know that? Have you seen that to the point that you've responded and accepted Him by faith? And then have you seen the need, the desperate need, to believe and hold to the fact that we have been crucified with Him as that old person and refuse to believe that way, and that we have been raised with Him as a new creation that has the opportunity to depend upon Him? Have you seen that? Do you see it? Then when you share it, you know this is not something you've made up. It's not something that comes from you. It's not something you've dreamed up. It's not your word. It's not your event. It's Jesus Christ, and you're proclaiming Him and what He has done. And then whatever the response is, people turn a deaf ear to what you're saying as you're a voice crying out in the wilderness. It's not you they're not hearing. It's God. As you live by faith and do that on a consistent basis, you free the Holy Spirit to begin to fill you. And as the Holy Spirit fills you, He wants to draw you into His flow, His movement, to how He's moving, how He's flowing, all as you depend upon Christ. That's a river analogy, metaphor used in the Scriptures. It's just another one other than the path. If we are depending upon Christ and we're being filled with the Spirit then guides us on where the path goes, and we follow that path wherever it might lead and however the Spirit leads. But we have and to me, again, you are challenged to continually assess if anything that I say, and you hear the Holy Spirit saying, that's just Him saying it, discount it. Anything that I would have to say to you in and of myself, I would discount it. But just through a faulty, a great faulty vessel, to just listen and see if there's some truth of what the Spirit might be trying to say. You live by faith, and it seemed to me this was played out last Sunday to some degree. If you live by faith consistently, the Holy Spirit begins to want to bring the experience of Christ, the reality of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to really bring that you have died with Christ as an old creation and that you are joined with Christ as a new creation, and you have His life force flowing through you as a new creation. The Holy Spirit wants to begin to fill you and to draw you into His flow. And I felt last Sunday the Spirit was at the door of our church. Saying you're talking about the way, you're upholding Jesus Christ, and enough for doing it, I'm here. I'm at the door. I'm ready to come in and begin to work. We have to ask ourselves, what is our reaction at that moment? Because at that moment, that's when we begin to find out if we truly mean it or not. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to show up, you know what He begins to confirm? Says, that's right, you are dead in Christ. Get out of my way. Turn loose of your life. Let me lead. As you follow Christ, let me fill you. You're dead apart from Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ and let me fill you. And begin to work and you follow my lead. Wherever that is and whatever it is, you do what I say. I'm the Spirit of God. I'm the power of God. Let me fill you and see what I can do. If we don't really mean that life of faith, here's what we're going to do. Oh, no. No, it's my life. I want to do it what I want to do it. We're already 30 minutes past the service time. I want to eat. We don't do it this way. Our church does not do it this way. And the Holy Spirit says, if I'm going to fill, if I'm going to flow, you're going to have to allow me to do it. And it's my way. It's Christ's way. Because as a new creation and in Christ, He's the Lord. He leads. He dictates. We are His followers. We go where He says to go. We do what He says to do. And He will grace us with His Spirit to do it. And then we can see what He can do. Whatever we do as a people, it's still that call to you, each of you. That's what God wants to do in your life. Despite the uncertainties, despite the questions, at the heart of it is, He says, walk the way with me. Let my Spirit fill and work through you, and we'll be all right. We'll get done what Christ wants to do. There's a final word about being, not a final one, but another word about being a prophet of the way. We live in a time, if we want to talk about the way of Jesus Christ in terms of the feast, it's that times of God. We live in the feast of Pentecost. And the days following Pentecost, in the language we've used when we first came, we are living and being called to live on the other side of gate 2. All that we've been talking about this morning, that's the time we live, to be on the other side of Pentecost and being living in that. And as such, we are in the days that was spoken of by the prophet Joel that Peter quoted on that day of Pentecost when all of Jesus' followers had been huddled in a room in fear of what might happen to them. And yet they gathered there because Jesus told them to. And He said, wait on me and see what I can do. Wait on me. That's holding on to Christ on the other side of gate 2. This is what we can't settle for anything less. The Lord says, keep holding on to me. Keep depending upon me. Keep waiting on me. Keep waiting on me until I send the promise of the Father and the Spirit descends. And that small group in the upper room that had been huddled together in fear went down among the thousands. And Peter stood up, who had just recently denied his Lord to a slave girl, got up before thousands of people, some of which had been responsible for crucifying Jesus Christ, his Lord, and he proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the Son of God, and He's the one that you crucified. And in this time, in this age, you're to walk the way, but you're to walk the way in order to be a prophet of the way. You are to see it and then to proclaim it. And there's one aspect of it, a warning. If you allow the Lord to do His work to that point, then there's a trap here. As you begin to experience the movement of the Spirit, as you begin to experience the Lord working through you, there can be a pride and a puffiness and a hardness set in that you think you're doing it, somehow you're special, somehow you're powerful, somehow you're better than someone else, more spiritual than someone else, and there becomes a haughtiness and a hardness that sets in. And then when you proclaim the way of Jesus Christ, there's a harshness to it, a hardness to it. Here's the truth it must be held on to. As you allow yourself to get to the point to be a prophet of the way, always keep in mind that if you are ever moving off from a motivation of love and grace, you're moving away from the Holy Spirit and you're taking what you've been called to do into the old creation and being puffed up and built up yourself. The prophets throughout the Scripture, their basic message in whatever form it took was for people to turn around, to repent from going away from God and to do what? Come back to God. Come back to that relationship with God. That's your role as a prophet of the way. And even though sometimes that language was very hard, but when it comes from the Spirit, it is always motivated by love. The Lord uses you to proclaim the way. He will do that out of a heart of love and a sense of grace and brokenness, that it only be beneficial if it is truly of Him, and it is of Him, and He is all about Him. He wanted you to know the way of Christ and to walk that way because He what? He loves you. And He wants you to be a prophet of the way, to proclaim the way unto others because He loves them. It's love. And then we're talking about some basic steps along the way. The Spirit is so strong on this. Unless the basic activities, steps that we're talking about, take place along the way, if we step off the way and try to do these steps, if they're not a part of our faith and our walk of faith with Christ, all the basic steps that we have started to talk about and will continue to talk about are unacceptable to God, are offensive, and are idolatrous practices before God. It is so important that what we talk about in these steps all flow from that walk of faith with Christ. We talked about baptism. Being immersed in water alone will not save you. If you are depending upon stepping over here and being dunked in a pool of water and then have some assurance that I'm saved, you're not. What? There's one condition for salvation. There's one condition on the outside of the door of heaven that allows someone to go in one day. Only one. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, has faith in Him, might have everlasting life and might not perish. What saves you is faith in Jesus Christ. With that faith, then the Lord says, now step into the waters and show the world what's happened in your heart. Then immersion in water has so much meaning. Then it's showing to yourself and whoever would watch what's happened to you. And it's saying to Him, and Lord, I don't care who sees.